بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ان شاء الله یہ حضرت والا کا کلام ہے عارفانہ عاشقانہ کلام ہے اور اس کلام کا عنوان ہے میری زندگی کا حاصل تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا مجھے خوش خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا یہ تیری عنایتیں ہیں یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ یہ تیری عنایت ہے یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ میری جان نا تواقع تیرے غم پہ صبر کرنا یہ تیری عنایت ہے یہ تیری مدد کا صدقہ میری جان نا تواقع تیرے غم پہ صبر کرنا یہ تیری عطا ہے یا رب یہ تیرا جذب پنہا یہ تیری عطا ہے یا رب یہ تیرا جذب پنہا میرا نالہ ندامت تیرے سنگ در پہ کرنا میرا نالہ ندامت تیرے سنگ در پہ کرنا میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا یہی میری تلافی میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا ہے یہی میری تلافی تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم معاف کرنا میرا ہر خطا پہ رونا ہے یہی میری تلافی تیری رحمتوں کا صدقہ میرا جرم معاف کرنا ہے اسی طرح سے ممکن تیری راہ سے گزرنا اسی طرح سے ممکن تیری راہ سے گزرنا کبھی دل پہ صبر کرنا کبھی دل سے شکر کرنا کبھی دل پہ صبر کرنا کبھی دل سے شکر کرنا یہ تیری رضا میں جینا یہ تیری رضا میں مرنا یہ تیری رضا میں جینا یہ تیری مزا میں مرنا میری ابدیت پہ یا رب یہ تیرا فضل کرنا یہ تیری رضا میں جینا یہ تیری رضا میں مرنا میری ابدیت پہ یا رب یہ تیرا فضل کرنا یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا یہی عاشقوں کی عادت یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا یہی عاشقوں کی عادت کبھی گریا وہ بکاگے کبھی آہ صدقے برنا کبھی گریا وہ بکاگے کبھی آہ صدقے برنا یہی عشق کی علامت یہی عشق کی ضمانت یہی عشق کی علامت یہی عشق کی ضمانت کبھی ذکر ہو زباں سے کبھی دل میں یاد کرنا یہی عاشقوں کا شیوا یہی عاشقوں کی عادت کبھی گریا وہ بکاگے کبھی آہ صدقے برنا یہی عشق کی علامت یہی عشق کی ضمانت یہی عشق کی علامت یہی عشق کی ضمانت کبھی ذکر ہو صبح سے کبھی دل میں یاد کرنا تیری شان جذب ہے یہ تیری بندہ پروری ہے تیری شان جذب ہے یہ تیری بندہ پروری ہے میرے جان دل کا تجھ کو ہر وقت یاد کرنا تیری شان جذب ہے یہ تیری بندہ پروری ہے میرے جان دل کا تجھ کو ہما وقت یاد کرنا کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر اسے آگیا ہے جینا اسے آگیا ہے مرنا کسی اہل دل کی صحبت جو ملی کسی کو اختر اسے آگیا ہے جینا اسے آگیا ہے مرنا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا میری زندگی کا حاصل میری زیست کا سہارا تیرے عاشقوں میں جینا تیرے عاشقوں میں مرنا مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب مجھے کچھ خبر نہیں تھی تیرا درد کیا ہے یا رب تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا تیرے عاشقوں سے سیکھا تیرے سنگ در پہ مرنا
And to create this love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you must sit in the company of the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And staying in their company, inshallah, this love of Allah ta'ala will be created in the heart of a person. And when this love of Allah ta'ala comes into a person, then this overcomes all other loves in this world. In the whole world and all the things which are inferior value will fall in the eyes of a person. And a person will understand what is the object of his life. It is why to sit in the company of awliya Allah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is of utmost importance. The object of this islah is to create this fikr and concern within ourselves. How can I correct myself? How can I correct my heart and change the direction of my heart towards akhirat, towards attaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah give us all tawfiq. Inshallah, next we'll be having a bayan of Hazrat Maulana Mufti Siraj Islai Sahib, Tam Barakatuhum Al-Aliya, who is the Khalifa of Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, who was one of the senior khulafa of Hazrat Maulana Rasulullah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. He's a very, very great awliya, Allah, friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana spent time in the company of Hazrat Maulana Rasulullah Rahmatullah Ali for many years, and thereafter he took care, he put his hands in allegiance to Hazrat Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali with this object: how can I learn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I reform my heart? So inshallah, Hazrat Maulana is speaking great khidmat here in Port Elizabeth. Allah gave us tawfiq to appreciate the great services of our ulama and to take full benefit from them.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa nabiyyana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluh صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك من زانت به العصر أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قال ربك للملائكة إني جاعل في الأرض خليفة وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد من يملك نفسه عند الغضب أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين Honorable Ulama, respected elders, brothers, our young friends in Islam, we firstly must make an intention, and all of us sitting here, I will also do that. In fact, I have already done that, the intention that, Ya Allah, we are sitting here for our Islah. And we just heard the beautiful nazm, the beautiful share of Hazrat Hakim Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, that the importance of coming to know and recognizing Allah by sitting in good company. I recited a verse of the Quran Kareem, which is part of the talk. If you ask people, if you ask any Muslim that what is the purpose of your creation, then the answer will be, well, we are created. In fact, some people will recite the ayat, we always hear this ayat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that we are created for the worship of Allah. Allah says we did not create jinn and man, but so that لِيَعْبُدُونِ, so that may worship me. So every person, every Muslim knows that we have been created for the worship of Allah. And that ayat is definitely a very clear message of the maqsad and the purpose of our creation. There's no doubt in that. But the verse I recited, maybe, let's say, it takes us a little further back. Now let me explain this ayat. Firstly, what's the meaning of this ayat? I'm sure we also heard this many a time, where Allah says that, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ, remember the time when your Rabb said to the malaika, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَ, that I want to establish, I want to create in this dunya a khalifa. This is the time when Allah wanted to create Nabi Adam alayhi salam. So Allah informed the malaika. Allah informed them. There's another good lesson we learn from this. And the lesson is that Allah Ta'ala told the malaika, informed them that He intends creating a human being. Allah Ta'ala did not need to inform them. Allah is supreme, He is powerful, He is all conquering, overwhelming. What need was there for Allah to tell the malaika? He could have just created man and said, yeah, he is the human being and this is the function of this human being, this is his purpose. But Allah didn't do that. Allah informed the malaika. Among the different reasons, the lesson we learn from this is that any person who is in a position, you are, for example, the employer, you got people working under you, you are the boss of a company, you are the head of a family, anything that you intend doing, if you intend taking a step which is not normal, not usual, which people won't expect, then it is only ethical, it is right. Good akhlaq demands that you inform them that this is what I intend doing. Don't just give them surprise. Okay, we know some people, you know, sometimes a pleasant surprise is good. You bring a present for your wife, suddenly she's very happy, it's a surprise. What we are speaking of is those things that will affect the lives of the people. It will impact upon the people around you or under you. Your family, your wife, your children, your employees. If a person is in charge of an organization, the people that work under you, even the people that work with you. So it's good to make them aware of what your plans are. So Allah Ta'ala told the malaika that I intend creating a khalifa. Allah Ta'ala did not say, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِنسَانًا, that I want to create insan. If you read this ayat, if you go further, the ulama will tell you that afterwards Allah speaks about the ilm that He vested with Nabi Adam alayhi salam, the ilm that He inspired, that He instilled into the heart of Nabi Adam. So Adam alayhi salam immediately became an alim, but Allah didn't say, I want to create an alim, or a pious person, or a muttaqi. Allah says, I want to create a khalifa. Now, I just want to first compare the two ayats before we understand this khalifa thing. The one ayat says that we created man and jinn to worship me. That ayat is telling us what our purpose is for being created in this dunya. So it tells us what we got to do. This ayat is telling us how it will be done. How will man worship Allah? It is by becoming the khalifa of Allah on this dunya. This is the reconciliation between the two ayats. So this ayat is not something different. A person can't say that, well, we were created to become Allah's khalifa. And here Allah says we must worship Allah. A worshipper is a slave. How can you reconcile a khalifa with a slave? So understand the meaning of this khalifa, inshaAllah. Then you will know and understand these two ayats are not contradictory. The one tells us what you need to do. You are a human being. You are created by Allah. Your job is to worship Allah. This ayat tells us how you will go about worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's take this verse again. Allah says that I will create a khalifa. What is the meaning of khalifa? Khalifa means a deputy. Khalifa means a deputy. What's a deputy? You can't do something or you are not able to do something or you don't want to do a particular work, so you appoint another person. You deputize someone else. You appoint someone to do that work for you. That is a deputy. Like we hear now, we hear that the mashayikh, they have khalifas. The plural of khalifa is khulafa. Khulafa means many khalifas. So you have a sheikh, you will appoint his khalifas. What will they do? They will do the same work as the sheikh. Because the sheikh won't stay any longer in this dunya. He will leave this dunya. So when he leaves, that work that he was doing will be continued by his khalifas. That is the meaning of a khalifa, a deputy, someone who will take the work forward. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed, before he passed away, or when he passed on, when he left this dunya, then the Sahaba ikram, they elected a khalifa. And who it was? Hazrat Abu Bakr. The story is long. The mashura that the Sahaba made and the debate that went on. But eventually, they all accepted and unanimously they accepted the khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. What he became known as Khalifatu Rasulillah, the Khalifa of the Messenger of Allah. Because he was going to do the same work that the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam did. That is the purpose and the maqsad of a Khalifa. Now, what I would like to do from this word, inshaAllah, you will understand this particular concept of Khilafat will explain to you the importance of Tazkiyah, which is what this whole program is about. Tazkiyah to nafs means the purification of the nafs, purification of the heart, purifying the ruh, adorning the ruh with good akhlaq, good qualities, removing from this heart all the evil and the bad qualities, the bad traits, the khasaila, razila. So that is what tazkiyah is about. From this ayat we will prove it, inshallah, from this khalifa. Although there are about, if I remember correctly, maybe there's some other hufaz that are better hafiz than me, they'll tell you. I remember there are 5 places in the Quran Kareem where Allah distinctly and clearly mentions this word tazkiyah. هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. So in at least five places, maybe more, where Allah mentions tazkiyah. And I remember our Hazrat Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah used to always say, in one of his majalis, he mentioned, he says that if people have a problem with the word tasawuf, they don't even use the word tasawuf. You can call it something else. And he says, why don't you use tazkiyah to nafs? Because that word tazkiyah comes in the Quran Kareem. So if someone says, no, we don't understand this tasawuf, where you come up with this word? So then Hazrat says that don't use the word. Call it akhlaq, call it tashihul akhlaq, tazkiyah to nafs, call it islahul nafs. Whatever you call it, it's just a name. Nowadays people give different names. There is so much scope in using and defining technical terms and creating technical terms. So don't let people get bogged down into the understanding of the technical term. So if people don't accept the tasawuf, say don't use the word tasawuf. We say tazkiyah to nafs. So Allah mentions this throughout the Quran Kareem. So it's a concept that is rooted in our deen. But what does this khalifa mean? When Allah says, I will create a human being, I will create my khalifa. Adam alayhi salam was the khalifa of Allah. That is why one of the titles of Nabi Adam, you find all these Anbiya alayhi salam, they got different titles. Some of them, like Adam alayhi salam, is called Khalifatullah. Nabi Ismail is Zabihullah. Nabi Isa is Ruhullah. Hazrat Ibrahim is called Khalilullah. So they all got different titles. So Adam alayhi salam was given the title of Khalifatullah. Now I said that the Khalifa is one that does the work of the one who deputized him, the one who made him the Khalifa. His leader, his Amir, his Sheikh, whatever you want to call it. So that means that that Khalifa needs to be imbued, he needs to be adorned with the same, if not exactly the same, but predominantly the same akhlaq and qualities as his superior. So if Adam alayhi salam was made the Khalifa by Allah Azza wa Jal, it means that Allah adorned Nabi Adam alayhi salam with certain qualities and certain akhlaq of Allah Himself. And that is not something far-fetched, it is not something which is out of the ordinary, it is something that is really logical and possible, as we'll explain inshallah. There is a statement among the awliya Allah, it's not a hadith, so don't misunderstand this, it is a statement of the Buzrugan al-Din. They used to say that تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ, which means you must adopt and inculcate the akhlaq of Allah. Why they say this? And then when they mention this, they also mention the same concept that you, O man, we all are the sons of Nabi Adam. We are taking forward the same portfolio of our grandfather, our ancestor Nabi Adam. What is that portfolio? It is to be the Khalifa of Allah. So we need to adorn ourselves with those qualities, those akhlaq that Allah has got. And you will notice, apart from two things, you take all the sifat of Allah, the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal, you take all of them, then you will notice that it's possible for this human being, obviously with iman, that's the first one. What is one of the names of Allah? Look at the Asma'ul Husna. Huwallahu alladhi la ilaha illahu al-malikul quddusus salamul mu'min. So that's the first quality we already got of Allah. Allah is al-mu'min. Mu'min means person with iman. So we've got that iman. So, you can go through all the akhlaq of Allah, the qualities of Allah, all those sifat, those special attributes of Allah, you will find that you and I as Muslims, as mu'mineen, we can inculcate them, yes, not completely, that's impossible, but we can develop to some degree, these akhlaq of Allah. Besides two, I'll mention this, but I just give you an example, a few examples, like Allah says, that Khalik, Allah is a creator. Man creates things, not to the degree that Allah does, not in the way that Allah does, but man can create certain things. So Allah has given him this quality of Khalq. Allah has got the quality of Ilm. In fact, that was the first quality that Allah bestowed upon Nabi Adam alayhi salam. وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. So Allah gave Ilm, man has got Ilm. That Ilm is such an important thing. It is so vital for man's existence in this dunya. It is a quality that comes from Allah. Man has got hayat, which means the ability to live. He lives with the strength of Allah, but it is a quality that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Likewise, we read this verse here, Al-Malik al-Quddus al-Salam al-Mu'min al-Muhaymin. Al-Muhaymin means that one who safeguards something, who overlooks something, who controls something. Allah Ta'ala has given man that same quality. You and I, or to be more accurate, more exact, in this ummah, Allah has made every single hafiz of the Qur'an al-Kareem a muhaymin over the Qur'an. That means he is a guardian over the Qur'an al-Kareem. So in this manner, the qualities such as the quality of generosity, that is one of the great qualities of Allah, rahmat and mercy. We as human beings, we can inculcate those same qualities. What is this? This is all part of our tazkiyah. You will hear, inshallah, you must have heard, and in the coming days, you will hear the bayans that will be given, where all these qualities are mentioned. I just said earlier on, that tazkiyah is to attain, acquire all these good akhlaq. These are the akhlaq that come from Allah Azza wa Jal. So, we mentioned, for example, the quality of honesty and truthfulness. That is one of the hallmarks of Allah's might and power. Allah Ta'ala doesn't deal with us in a dishonest manner. Allah Ta'ala is not ambiguous in His dealings with us. Allah is very clear. Look at the ahkam of Allah, the laws of Allah. This is the beauty of our Sharia. It is so clear. No one can come and say that I don't understand Sharia, I can't practice on Sharia. Everything is very, very clear. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-halalu bayyin wal-haramu bayyin. Everything is clear. So this honesty, this being clear in your speech, in your attitude towards people, Allah deals with us. Allah ta'ala, our Shaykh used to say, there's two words he used. He says, by Allah, there is imhal, but no ihmal. Now, Hazrat used to like to play around with words. I'm speaking of Hazrat Mawlana Masihul Rahmatul Alayhi. So he says, there is imhal, but no ihmal. What's the difference? Imhal means that Allah gives you respite. A person commits a sin today, Allah leaves him. Tomorrow he commits the same sin. He might commit that sin for 10 years. Allah Ta'ala will give him time to make tawbah. Allah gives him respite. Look around us at all these kuffar. Look how much respite Allah gives them. We wish, Ya Allah, destroy these people. When we were having this problem with the Yahud attacking the Muslims in Gaza, what was the heartfelt dua of every Muslim? Ya Allah, destroy them. There's something come from the sky and just blow them out of the surface of this earth, blow them to smithereens. That was the wish in our hearts. But Allah Ta'ala says that everything will come at an appointed time. So Allah gives them respite. That is called imhal. But there's no ihmal by Allah. Ihmal means to leave someone in a quandary. He doesn't know what's happening. To leave someone in a state of confusion. This doesn't happen. So this is also a quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all these akhlaq, the quality, even the quality of takabbur, that is a hallmark of Allah's akhlaq, Allah's quality. Man can attain this, or man is also allowed to use this to a certain degree. Because in this dunya, you need a certain amount of kibr. What type of kibr is that? The kibr that is condemned by Sharia is that kibr where you look down upon another person. You consider yourself as better than the next person. Now there's two things you understand this. One is this, that you do something good, you achieve a feat in this dunya, now you feel nice about it. In your heart you feel proud of your own self. You're not looking down upon the next person. That is called ujab, which is also a bad quality. It's also haram, it's not jais to think like that. The other one is even worse, which is kibar, where you consider yourself as higher than the next person. Other person is nothing in your eyes, that person is inferior, you always feel you are better than the other person. And there are certain signs that will that are like telltale signs of this kibr, but we won't mention that now. Nonetheless, that is haram and condemned. But there are times when to feel proud about something is important, about your deen. I was just mentioning to Hazrat yesterday, that one of our problems today is that we feel shy of our deen. We feel, it's like, they call this like apologetic, being apologetic. That we are shy to mention certain things about our deen. We have reached a stage today, even the concept of jihad. People are frightened even to use this word. No, we can't say jihad. What the people are going to think about us? Don't worry what they think. This is a time when you need to be, now you must be proud. That amount of pride is also good for your deen. It is good for your akhlaq. But then again, remember, it must be controlled. That is why we say that you need a sheikh. Just a few days ago, someone was asking me, why is it necessary for a sheikh? Why do you need a sheikh? So I explained that, among other things, one is just that when you go through life, and especially if you got fikr for your deen, many a time you are confused with your spiritual state. Sometimes you might be proud, you might have pride in you, but you don't even realize it. You might have pride, but you're not even recognizing that pride. So the sheikh will come and tell you, no, this is haram. Sometimes you don't have pride, but you think it's pride. Sometimes a person hasn't got sabr about something, but he feels that, no, I've got the right. Something happens in your life, and then you suddenly, you have an outburst. You object to that thing, and you start using maybe not abusive language, but you become very exasperated, you become very agitated, and you say things. Now you believe that, no, I mustn't make sabr here, because I've got a right to speak up, I've got a right to condemn this person. The sheikh will come and tell you that, no, that was a wrong response, it was a wrong reaction, your attitude was incorrect, there you should have made sabr. So many a times with our akhlaq, we are confused. We don't know whether we got the right akhlaq or the wrong akhlaq. That is where the Shaykh comes. It's a very vital role that the Shaykh plays in our lives, dear brothers, that he will guide us to say what is the right thing, what is wrong. And it's important for a person to submit to that Shaykh. But anyhow, coming back to this word Khalifa, Allah Ta'ala tells us here that, O insan, you are my Khalifa. And you need to get my qualities in you. You need to takhallaqu bi akhlaqillah. You need to adorn yourself with those akhlaq that I've got. And this is what tazkiyah is all about. To get the akhlaq of Allah, to become a person who leads a life under the shadow of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that is where the ulama also mentioned, I just remember the hadith sharif in Bukhari, it comes, a sahih hadith, so no one can argue with this, when Allah Ta'ala says that, لا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل. لا يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي, that my servant will continue coming closer to me through nafil ibadat. Now nafil ibadat doesn't only mean namaz, nafil salah, you make tahajjud, it means that too. It means also the other nawafil, the other acts, optional acts of ibadat that a person does, which will bring you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is sadaqah, whether it is optional fasting, nafil fast, nafil sadaqah, whether it is even the sadaqah of your heart, the sadaqah of your nafs, that brings you closer to Allah. So the hadith sharif says that my servant, لا يزال عبدي يتقرب, he continues coming closer to me, حتى أحببته, until I start loving that person. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ أَكُونُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصْرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. Allah says that now, when he comes closer to me and I start loving him, then I become his eyes with which he sees. And I become his ears with which he hears. وَيَدَهُ, I become his hands, الَّتِي يَبْطُشُ بِهَا, his hands with which he grabs and he holds. Now what does this mean? It's a very important thing, because we mustn't misunderstand this and think that, well, this man is becoming like Allah. You can't come like Allah. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَوْ كُفُونَ أَحَدٍ. There's nothing comparable to Allah. But there is an interpretation here. And I always quote this hadith among others. There are many ayats in the Quran, many hadith. There is a concept, there is a debate that goes on among people, especially among our Salafi brothers, that they always got this argument that the certain qualities of Allah, you can't interpret it in any way. And they go to this extreme that if you do interpret it, then they almost take you out of the fold of Islam, which is obviously an extremity that is prohibited. You can't become so extreme in your beliefs. But this will prove that, yeah, you've got no option. There's absolutely no option but to interpret this in a figurative way, that what it means when Allah Ta'ala says, this is Hadith al-Qudsi, and it's Bukhari, so no one can argue about the authenticity of the Hadith. So the Hadith Sharif means, when it says that Allah says that I become his ears, with which he hears, that means that person will only hear in a manner that is under the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. I become his eyes with which he sees. It means he will only look in a manner that Allah has commanded him. When he speaks, it is the tongue of Allah speaking, meaning that he will only say things that will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything he does will be in conformity to the will, the law, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is also it's almost the pinnacle of your tazkiyah. One person, one buzruk, was asked a question. Someone asked him that, how are you today? They met him and asked, how are you? So he says that, what can you say about a person according to whose wish the entire universe runs? A person whom the entire universe, the whole world functions according to his wish. How do you expect me to feel good? Not to feel good, I mean. You ask me, how are you? I'm feeling on top of this world because this whole world runs according to my wish and my will. Now, a very, very, a very delicate statement, and it can be misinterpreted to mean this man is saying he is Allah, because the world functions according to the law of Allah. You saying the world functions according to your law and your will, that means you are Allah. No, what he says here, Hazrat explains this, that what I have done, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ Allah. My will and my desire, I have handed it over to the desire of Allah. In other words, whatever Allah wills, I am happy with that. Whatever he wishes, I also wish the same. If Allah wants to punish me, wants to hurt me, I am happy with that. If Allah gives me some ni'mat, I am pleased with that. So I am pleased with every single happening in this dunya. So that means the world functions according to my pleasure and my will. So it's a figurative meaning. The same applies here. So what happens, dear brothers, that when a person adorns these qualities of Allah, when he makes the tazkiyah, he gets these akhlaq of Allah, he imbues his heart, his spiritual life, his ruh, with these beautiful qualities, that now qualifies this man to become a proper khalifa. Otherwise, we disqualify ourselves. You hear of some mashayikh, Hazrat will tell you that they have khulafa, they appoint a person as a khalifa, but then this man doesn't do what the sheikh wants him to do. Now he follows a different path. So then the sheikh will fire him, he'll dismiss him, you no more my khalifa, I will now withdraw my khilafat. Now we must remember that we are the khalifas of Allah. If we don't get these qualities within our lives, Allah Ta'ala is going to withdraw that quality from us, that title of khilafat. Then we become like the kuffar. We become in their category. They are not fit to become the khalifas of Allah. So therefore, we understand this khalifa to mean a person who has adorned himself with all these akhlaq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And brothers, only then can your life function correctly. Whatever you do in this dunya, recently people are speaking about, I just thought now of this khilafat thing, people are speaking about establishing a khilafat, which is a great thing. They have established the khilafat there in Iraq and Syria, this Islamic state. Right? So they established the khilafat. And speaking of this particular state, this is our concern, our problem here. You see, to establish a khilafat, that big khilafat, you first need to get the khilafat in your own self. You need to become the proper khalifa of Allah. Then you can establish any khilafat in this dunya. You can establish a khilafat in your family. You become the khalifa of your family, in your businesses, in your madrasas, in your masjids, in your organizations. Now you can lead in the correct manner. That is why our mashayikh always have emphasized this point, that without this tazkiyah, without becoming a proper, suitable and a qualified khalifa of Allah, you cannot establish any work in this dunya, any major work that affects the public in general. If you look at, I was saying that the problem here we have with this particular khilafat that has been established, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala guide them, Allah protect them. The problem is that we don't see any tarbiyat as a springboard for this khilafat. Yes, people became, they had the jazba and this, you know, we call this the enthusiasm, the zeal, that we want to make jihad, we want to fight in the path of Allah. But that jihad was not, propelled by any zeal for tazkiyah to nafs or for the reformation of one's spiritual life. When that is not there, you can never achieve this. You can never achieve success. If you go back in the history, in the time when India was ruled by the British, so many incidents happened. One, I remember our Hazrat mentioned this, that when people were thinking, now how do we, what do we do with these British? How do we get them out of India? So there were a number of movements. This also gave rise to the Congress movement, the famous Congress party in India. So their objective was to get rid of the British from India. So a group of people came together. They decided that we must establish the Khilafat. We must have a Khalifa, an Amirul Mu'mineen, and then we can do proper jihad. And we can get rid of these people. If the only way we can get them out of this country is by making jihad. So this group, a delegation, it consisted of lawyers, barristers, it consisted of lots of thinkers and researchers. Remember India, that if you ask the people of India, millions of Muslims, always there were millions of Muslims, they produced such great people in different fields. So there were many of these wise people, thinkers, so they came together and they went throughout India, they toured India, they went to different parts of India, they went to the Deoband Madrasa, they went to Lucknow, all these different institutes, they met ulama to make mashur on how can we establish the Khilafat. And the same delegation came to Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayh, and they spoke to him. The gist of what Hazrat mentioned, I can recall, that when they put forward their proposal that we want to establish Khilafat, now they came last to Mawlana Thanvi. Why they came last to him? Because In their mind, this plan was that we want to ask him to become the Khalifa. We make him our Amir, because throughout India, the only person we see fit for that position is this great Alim, this great Wali of Allah. So they came with this proposal, Hazrat, we want to make you our Amir. We pledge the bayat to you, you become the Khalifa, and we place everything at your disposal, and you lead the Ummah. Now look at the conditions, Hazrat Than, we had. This is what I'm saying, that even our jihad, it cannot be waged without tazkiyah. Hazrat Thanwi had about three conditions. One is, he said that firstly, I am prepared to become the Amirul Mu'mineen. Amirul Mu'mineen means the leader of the Mu'mineen. So I'm prepared for that. But the first condition is this, that you must go to all the major business people, all the big wealthy people in India, and they must pledge a certain amount of wealth, and that must be at my disposal. Because I don't want to beg from people. If I want to be the Amir, I must be a rich Amir, so I can do what I want in the country. So I need the wealth of the people, number one. Number two, you must get a written document, or let's call it an agreement, from all the senior ulama that they have accepted me as the Khalifa. Right, and the third thing, now this is actually what I want to mention here. He says that after I become the Amirul Mu'mineen and I become the Khalifa, for 10 years there won't be any talk about jihad. For 10 years we're going to make the tazkiyah of the entire Muslim population in India. And I'm going to lead it myself. If they can accept this condition, I'll become the Amirul Mu'mineen. And if you don't accept it, then I'm afraid that I don't want to be Amirul Mu'mineen today, and tomorrow I become the Asirul Kafirin. That means the prisoner of the Kuffar. Because I'm going to lose, and they'll arrest me. Overnight they'll arrest me. But what I'm saying is, here we can see clearly that you need the tazkiyah, even in the field of jihad. That is why we hear all these great incidents. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for 13 years, they never made jihad in Makkah. What was being done in Makkah? They worked on the iman of the Sahaba and the tazkiyah of the nafs. They were drilled, it was drummed into them. They were indoctrinated with this tazkiyah. For 13 years, there was the development of the iman. Now when they came to Medina, they were able to make jihad and wage jihad. And then you had such stories coming out, wonderful stories. A man is sitting on top of the kafir with his sword, and the kafir spits in his face. Now you got all the more reason to slay that person. Hazrat Ali Radhanu gets up and he says, no, I can't kill you. Because if I kill you now, I'm doing it for my own nafs, for my own personal satisfaction, for vengeance. And that is not what I'm here for. I was listening to an interview the other day. Now just to show you that it is important for us to understand these things. They were interviewing with this Islamic State. I think there are about 20, from about more than 20 countries, people are coming there to make jihad. They're all coming there with the zeal and the zest and this valor and this enthusiasm of jihad, the josh of jihad. But very few of them actually understand the tazkiyah part of it, that we need the tazkiyah that accompanies this jihad. So one of these foreign people, he had his little son there, little boy, and they were interviewing this boy. They asked the boy, what you want to do in life, what you want to become? He says, I want to become he's saying now jihadi. We mustn't use this word jihadi, that's the kuffar use it. We say mujahid. I want to become a mujahid. So what you going to do? I'm going to fight the kuffar. Why you want to fight the kuffar? I want to kill them. Why you want to kill the kuffar? Now they're killing our Muslims. Now already it's a wrong concept. Islam teaches us that you don't do things out of vengeance. And so many times, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, look at the beautiful akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When they conquered Makkah, now look at this, when they marched into Makkah, they had every reason to punish those kuffar, to take revenge. They had all the reasons. For 13 years they were persecuted. Now the kuffar are at their mercy. Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is coming in to Makkah from the other side. The plan, it's a long story, but they had a plan. Obviously, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made jihad, it was not just something haphazard. It was well planned, orchestrated. They had a battle plan. So when they came in, Khalid bin Walid was entering from one part of the city, the holy city of Makkah. And what was on the lips of Khalid bin Walid? He was saying, Al-yawmu yawmul malhama. Today is the day of bloodshed. Today you're going to see now what we're going to do to you people. You people punish us and you persecuted us. Now we're going to take revenge, and revenge is going to be sweet. So he says, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Malhama. Today is the day of bloodshed. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard of this, he was very disappointed with Khalid bin Walid, and he changed that saying. He says, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama. Today is the day of mercy. We are going to show blanket mercy to everyone. And when he stood at the doors of the Kaaba, what did he say? He says, Antumut Tulaqa. Antumut Tulaqa. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There are no charges against you today. We hold nothing against you. You are free to go wherever you want. What was that? It was a culmination of the tazkiyah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just mentioned one incident which I also heard from our Hazrat. Muhammad bin Qasim, one of the great generals in the Muslim world, when he took an army to India for the jihad of India, he was only 17 years old. If there are some youngsters sitting here who are 17 years old, ask yourself that, have you reached that level? And you'll hear the story now, and then you ask yourself, I'm 17, 18, 19, 16. Have I reached that level of taqwa as this man and leading an army where the soldiers were double his age? Soldiers were even double his age. But Allah Ta'ala gave him that gift, and he was accepted. He was a pious person. So he went on this journey. It's another long story of why they went to, because they were petitioned by women that were captured by this Raja Dahir of India, one of the Hindu kings. They captured Muslim women. So Hajjaj bin Yusuf said that we are going to conquer these countries and free those women. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nowadays, you know, so many Muslims get killed, and our Muslim governments, they don't even bat an eyelid. They still sleep nicely in their beds. How can a Muslim sleep when you know your Muslim brothers and children are being killed by the enemy? So one Muslim woman wrote a letter from the prison. And Hajjaj bin Yusuf said, that is enough. I'm going to send this army. He told Muhammad bin Qasim, you don't come back unless you conquer those territories and you freed those hostages. And he went and he conquered one city after another. They came to one particular area. They conquered the place, and they captured certain people. Among the captors were women. And among those women, there were two princesses. Princesses, that means they were daughters of kings, of the Rajas. In those days, the kings of India were known as Rajas. So these were very, very beautiful girls. But instead of Muhammad bin Qasim being attracted to those girls, it was the opposite. When they saw this young man, they could see the nur of iman, the taqwa. They were so in love with him that they made a request. They said to him that, they said to the soldiers who held them in captive, that take us to your leader, to your general of the army, general of the army. We would like to serve him. We would like to become his personal khadims or khadimas, the female. So they took the ladies there, these girls. What was the reaction of Muhammad bin Qasim? Now this is, again, it is the effects and the signs of tazkiyah. He told him, he says, I've got no choice in this matter. I will take you back to Medina, where the Khalifa is. And if he says, if he gives you to me, then I will live with you and you can become whatever you want for me. But if the decision rests with him, right now, I can't even look at you, he says. And he turned them away. That is the tazkiyah. Today you hear, although I must admit that, you know, we get all these media reports. We don't know how far they are true, but we hear stories of rape, of young girls being raped. The honor of these girls are being desecrated. How far this is true, Allah Ta'ala knows only. But I can guarantee you one thing, that without the tazkiyah, it is very difficult to maintain good akhlaq, to maintain justice and equality among people, especially when you have control, when you have power in your hands. So coming back to this again, we can see from this, dear brothers, that if we want to become khalifas, we want to establish khilafat in our own lives, we can only do that when we develop the akhlaq and the qualities of Allah Azza wa Jal. I mentioned that there are two things that Allah Ta'ala doesn't have that we must have. The one is tawadu, which is humility, and itaat, obedience. Allah doesn't owe allegiance to anyone. Allah doesn't need to be obedient to anyone. But we have to be obedient unto Allah. And tawadu is humility. That is not by Allah. That is in our possession. Allah Ta'ala doesn't have that. We need to give that tawadu to Allah. Tawadu means humility. We humble ourselves in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Allah made us His Khalifas. Let us become really true and proper khalifas of Allah Azza wa Jal. Let us justify and vindicate confidence that Allah put in us. Allah created Adam alayhi salam. The first people to object were the malaika. But I tell you one thing, that from that day onwards till now, the malaika are ruining their decision to object against the creation of man, because every time that man does something, Allah says, Allah boasts. He boasts to the malaika, look at my insan, look at my servant, look at what they are doing. Laylatul Qadr, Eid, and all these occasions, Allah boasts to the malaika. Now the malaika got egg on their face that, Ya Allah, we objected to this man. Look at the levels of taqwa this man has reached. So let us become those true khalifas of Allah who are imbued with the akhlaq of Allah Azza wa Jal. Takhallaqu bi akhlaqillah. And that you can only get through tazkiyah. So I said earlier that from this word khalifa, we can get the quality, the important concept of tazkiyah to nafs. And again I say and I emphasize, dear brothers, that anything you do in life, if you want to make tabligh, if you want to make your salah, if you want to make jihad, if you want to do business, if you want to teach people, if you want to follow a profession, all these facets of life, they are all governed by this one quality of tazkiyah. Ulama have departmentalized and categorized the different ahkam of sharia, the different rulings of sharia, and they say one part is tazkiyah, but in practice, that tazkiyah must be found in everything you do in life. Without that, it is impossible or nigh impossible for a person to achieve success in the field that you are in without this tazkiyah. I make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal that Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability to understand this concept of tazkiyah and then to make effort to develop that tazkiyah and bring it into our lives. I must apologize to Hazrat that I overstepped my time, overran my time off. May Allah Ta'ala accept these efforts from all the ulama that are here. Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib is here, mashallah. We must really be grateful for Hazrat to come here and share with us all this these wonderful and important advices. Here we have a great person coming to us, so I feel it's important we must take this message to others, that whoever can, bring them here, let us attend and fill up this masjid just to benefit from the great people that are in our presence.